Welcome to the first annual Idle Thumbs annual pre-release StarCraft II Podblast, coming to you from 16 floors above the San Francisco Gay Pride Parade. I'm Chris Remo.
I'm Nick Brecken.
And I'm Jake Rodkin. So there's a huge Gay Pride Parade going on downstairs.
Yep. It's true.
You might hear it accidentally during this blast.
Yeah.
But what you'll also hear about is StarCraft II.
Yeah.
I played.
I played it a week ago at Blizzard.
So you're raising the bargo?
Yep, the bargo has been raised.
Oh man,
yeah, it's coming.
Also,
off.
We got a whole lot of requests from people to release our beeped out StarCraft II coverage the last.
So you want to just take a break and we can let everyone hear that right now?
Sure.
It's awesome. It's fucking StarCraft. What?
There all right, well, there you go. It's exciting, huh? Wasn't that exciting? All right. Glad you all waited for that.
Yeah. That was probably worth it.
Right. So go ahead, Nick. What do you got for us?
Well, it was a long day.
What have you got for us?
Initially, this event was going to be for sort of showing off Battle.net and all the stuff that they have.
They changed it into the Gay Pride Parade.
You're right. Yeah, it was really odd. All the units were rainbow colored. It was special mods. Anyway.
Oh, sorry, I ruined what you were saying.
Yeah, you did. That's nothing new.
Oh, man.
Okay. So please talk.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, it was initially going to be sort of a you know, hey, it's Battle.net and all the single player and crazy stuff, but they sort of scaled it back and we just played the game a lot, the multiplayer. But it's interesting. I played StarCraft 2.
So you played it over local area network basically just with was it other journalists or what was the
Well, it was weird. Initially it was other journalists and then I started noticing these players with like Liquid Dot in their name, you know, prefacing their name, and I realized that I was also playing against like hardcore balancing testers that were some of which were likely Korean and got completely destroyed. And then I played against a Blizzard employee and everybody was laughing at me. So there was some of that, a little embarrassment.
Liquid, so you were playing against Team Liquid?
Yeah.
Those guys are hardcore.
Yeah, they're hardcore. I instantly knew when they all said GLHF before the round. Clearly journalists didn't know what that meant. So
right.
That was the indication that I was about to get, you know, demolished.
So that's you didn't have the experience that I so enjoy playing against clueless journalists who have never played a PC game.
I had that once.
Before.
I completely killed Brad Shoemaker.
Oh, man. Well, that guy plays PC games.
Yeah. So that was
not StarCraft 2, apparently.
He's been on our podcast.
Yeah.
So you go find other guests we've had and kill them in StarCraft 2. You have a series.
You can't just call her?
Yep. But no, I'll talk about the game for a second.
Well, good idea.
Getting past the... Yeah,
I'll spend a second or two.
Into the... Yeah. Wow, it's completely. I've played the game, you know, at least two or three times, fairly extensively at BlizzCons and other events and stuff. And you know, initially this game has been in a playable form for like a year and a half, 2 years,
right.
And so it's been interesting to see how it's evolved, and it's evolved a lot. Like, it is surprising how much is now completely different and how.
Really?
You know, I played StarCraft a lot when I was a kid and sort of have all of those build orders and hotkeys memorized and, well, you know, and still occasionally now. But I'm completely fucking useless now. It is different to the point
when you
where...
You say a kid, you mean like an adolescent?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm actually 16, Chris.
Oh, okay. I don't know. It's funny to say I played StarCraft as a kid. That's creates a really funny image in my mind.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, no, it's very different now. It's matured quite a bit.
Actually. That's kind of surprising based on what the prevailing expectation has been.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, you know, a lot of people are saying, oh, it just looks like StarCraft.
Yeah, it's just StarCraft with better graphics.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It, and
confirm or deny?
Two new units, I think, and then they're going to charge you an extra $50 for the next two units.
So you're saying that it might actually be worth it and a new game?
Yeah, it may be. Yeah, maybe worth buying. It might be worth buying. I don't know.
StarCraft 2.
Maybe a rental.
Well, what makes maybe it so, a rental. What makes it so Jesus? What makes it so different? I mean, what about it has changed?
Other than you suck at it now.
You know, it's weird. Like, there's so many little subtle changes to every unit that sort of make them into completely different units. Mm-hmm. Fundamentally, they look
so
the same.
Just changed it so you know, just to change it so that you don't feel like you're playing the same game a new second time.
Yeah, they're all superficial changes. Yeah, that, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
They just so the rebound the keys.
Dragoons right. are boats now.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The medics are spaceships.
Okay.
Which they literally are.
Really?
Like, yeah. There's like a medic dropship that just sort of heals guys with a beam.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, there are all kinds of like crazy things like that. And it's just surprising how much every unit has changed dramatically.
But it was working for you when
Can you
were playing?
Are there any kind of...
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Did they have the sort of broad dynamics of the game change much at all? Or is that more what they've kept the same?
I mean, it's still StarCraft. I mean, right. Don't get me wrong. And a sure. lot of the same strategies work, you know. But they've tuned it to the point where... you know, a lot of stupid things about the game are gone. Like there was a lot of debate early on with early versions of things like, you know, multiple building selection and sort of minute changes
right,
that would
right.
actually have a drastic effect on the game.
Right.
All of that's in now, and it does change the way that you play the game. You spend a lot less time worrying about what buildings have this or that, and more time sort of on the, I guess what you would call like hardcore play. You know, the micro kind of managing your units and developing different sort of attack strategies and things.
Okay.
So
I'm not good at micro. That's
I'm not either.
Not a good sign for me.
No, you know, I thought the same thing, but it actually does make the game more fun. Just even if you're playing okay. against
almost,
somebody who's balanced.
I mean, this might be I might be completely off base here, but could you draw any comparisons at all to Dawn of War 2? Because that's a game that is almost exclusively micro, and
yeah.
so I would traditionally think I would not enjoy it, but I love that game.
It's not Dawn of War 2 at all.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong. It's still right. StarCraft, and that was a very deliberate choice. I was interviewing Dustin Brower, the lead designer,
right.
and he was like, you know, some other games have taken the RTS and sort of taken elements of it, but that's not what we're doing at all. You know, that's fine for them, but he sort of laid it on thick, which was
for
funny.
For companies who aren't Blizzard Entertainment.
Yeah. He didn't specifically name Dawn of War.
Bullshit but- Mickey Mouse companies. That's okay.
Yeah, yeah. There was some of that, but it's more that, you know, you can set waypoints for units a lot easier now. You can, you know, select buildings. A lot of the buildings now, instead of building specialized tech things, the tech things are interchangeable, like the sort of expansion buildings. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When you build a barracks now, you can build a... I mean, this is what a high-level player did
like
during
the
administration.
Like, stim packs and stuff can be built else, like, in different places, things like... Is that
well, you know what's
you
interesting
mean?
About the stim packs and upgrades and shit like that, which was always a little confusing to me. Now they're... They all, some of them seemed better than others, or not, so, I mean, it was a balanced game, but to me as just a casual player,
right.
I was always like, oh, I want the siege tanks, but fuck all these other like little minute things. Now every upgrade seems to be cool in a weird way, you know
okay.
what I mean? Like they're all kind of attractive,
right.
and they all do interesting things, rather than sort of minute changes. Like when you get, there's an upgrade for the Marine that gives them 10 extra health points. And in the original game, that would probably not be something that's all that exciting. But now it actually gives your Marine like a little riot shield and makes them look kind of cool. And it sounds like a stupid little thing, but like all the little upgrades and things like that make sense. But what I was talking about was the expansion building, which is a good example of how they made something really simple for the average user, but now also kind of opened up other doors for hardcore players. When you build a barracks, you can now build an expansion building like you could on a factory previously. But what you can do if you're... Which... And that expansion building is just called like a tech thing for the Terrans. It's just like
tech thing.
It's called like the tech expansion or whatever. It's just sure. a general name. And you can
okay.
build that for the factory, the starport, or the barracks.
Oh,
and it's
see.
The
okay.
same all... You know, so that simplifies it for the casual player. But
that is nice,
at
actually.
The same time, one of the hardcore players did was he built one of those on a barracks... And then lifted his barracks off, and he was building a factory concurrently, and then swapped out the barracks with the factory, and then so he had been building that tech thing early on in the game specifically to swap out and drop the factory
oh,
and use it for that.
It
so it's interchangeable,
depending
right? Yeah,
on which building it's attached to. I see.
Yeah,
okay,
that's crazy.
Okay.
That's cool.
So they've thought of a lot of things like that where, you know, it's simplified it for a player who's just sort of, you know, doesn't
right.
really know what they're doing,
right.
but at the same
say,
time,
I've got an upgraded building here.
Right.
Right.
But at the same time, they've opened up a lot. I mean, the amount of, you know, crazy minute strategies that you can pull off based on a lot of the units and upgrades is going to be insane. I mean, they've done a really good job of catering to that hardcore player without, and at the same time, making it easier to play for people who don't know what StarCraft is. So
yeah, I saw the, I think it was the third battle report that they released recently. And some of the stuff one of the guys was doing with force fields was just ridiculous.
Yeah, there's this Protoss unit that can just drop these sort of force field bubbles and trap people.
Right. Which is funny because it's not what you'd think the purpose of... It's probably not what the main purpose of a force field is.
Right.
I mean, I think it's mainly to protect guys, right? I think that's more what it's for.
You can use it for either. I mean, I don't know what they, you know, what most people would think of that to be, but it was certainly more entertaining to kind of like trap a bunch of workers and then bring in a dude and, you know, destroy them all. But it's still hilarious StarCraft stuff.
I mean, it's offensive force field is a good thing.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's trapping guys in his, they were attacking his base and he trapped them into his base. It was pretty hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's when you say you were a casual player, that's interesting because I think I probably had a similar thing with StarCraft where I also played a lot of that game. I played a ton of StarCraft. I can't even imagine how many hundreds of hours I must have played over the years. Particularly for like 1 year in college in particular.
Yeah.
And,
you guys are not actually casual StarCraft players, but with that game, there's just an additional.
This is
what I mean to say though. The thing is, I'm not casual.
Triple digit hours in a game.
Right.
See, that's casual.
That's my point though. That's what I'm saying.
I've got all the hotkeys memorized, but
difference
I still
is
suck.
There's still tons of strategies I've never even heard of.
Right,
I'm casual in the sense that I didn't really ever go online, read about the strategies to use. Like I got to the point where I could get a really strong facility with the units that I'm accustomed to building, but there are, like, I was mainly a Protoss player. I mean, there are units that I pretty much just never built. You know what I mean? There were things like, I don't know, Corsairs, for example. It's like those units are so specific. They do very low amounts of damage and they're used for such a specific purpose that to my sort of casual brain, they're never as cool as building a bunch of carriers and just sending in this big hilarious fleet.
Right.
To just
swarm. You know what the other thing they've done is that they've made those specialized units, again, to use a sort of crude term, but cool enough that you do want to use them
to
now.
Use, like, crude.
Well, you know what I'm saying, though. Like,
cool.
No, I know what you mean, though. Just like someone who doesn't entirely know what the fuck you're supposed to do can sort of see a sort of primary level of appeal in them just by, like, oh, that's a cool-looking thing. Oh, I can do something with it. Oh, someone else is raping me with it.
Yeah, yeah. Like a lot of those units now shoot, like, beam weapons, which looks great, but they also have, you know, a bunch of special, like, the force field unit shoots like a beam thing, and it's just a cool unit to begin with, but then it also has that, you know, spell that can do crazy things. So,
right.
But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I was talking to Dustin Brower, I already said his title, but anyway, lead designer, and he was talking about just how, you know, this game has basically been in a playable form for two or maybe even 3 years internally. Who knows? I didn't really ask specifically, but, they did that intentionally. Like their design method was, this game is always going to be in the best possible state that it can be in as a playable game. And then they're
just completely balancing.
It's completely, and then from then on out, it's tweaking. And then when they get the music done, they added the music in. And then, you know, it's always been StarCraft 2, but they're just simply fixing and iterating and tweaking and doing that over the course of just years.
Right.
Which is just kind of mind-blowing a little bit. It is
really strange. You've got to think those guys are going to be ready to be done making that game.
I was like, so, you know, how is this experience? He was just like, oh my God. Like, you know, like, oh, like he literally went like, oh, like it's been really tough. Like, so, but
save
actually one
me.
Thing. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but one thing I wanted to bring up, because we were talking about this last week. He mentioned just, you know, how they've been, through this process, just, you know, tweaking the engine to, you know, just even in the way that units are selected and per pixel, you know, and getting that response right. And we were talking about, you know, just how much that makes a difference, you know, when you're designing a game to have everything, you know, he just used an example of like when you select a unit, if you click on, you know, the corner of the unit, that it would select, but maybe not like a little fin or, you know, just like little, because now StarCraft's in a 3D engine. So it's not just straight top down. You can zoom in a little bit. And so, for hardcore players, they really need, you know, all of the, mechanics and selection and thing, you know,
you have to be
pretty snappy
intent pretty well.
Yeah. And, And that was just, I don't know, you wanted to talk about this last week. I don't know if you didn't want to bring this up. Do you remember what we were talking about with just like games and
glassy stare?
Yeah.
Refresh my memory.
Last week you were like, oh, we got to talk about this next week. And now I'm bringing it up and you just, just game and game, spending time on response and making sure everything's
snappy. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. That's something that I actually think is not. Yeah, I'm sorry.
It came to life like an animatronic figure.
I remember one thing that we wanted to.
I wasn't associating with response time with sort of per pixel detection, although they're similar. But yeah, I think that in general, that kind of thing has been really overlooked a lot. And I think it's honestly a big part of it is that it's really difficult to sell that.
Yeah.
You know, when you spend a lot of time, even down to things like making sure your menus are very responsive.
Yeah.
I think that's something that just isn't. Frequently, not much attention is paid to that, especially on consoles for some reason, where I find it all the more frustrating because when I'm using a stick and going up between the menus, I want it to happen as I'm doing it instantaneously. And that's something that most developers, I think, don't spend enough time on. Like, I know it's really hard to make a game, and there's way more important things that developers do need to spend time on. I fully realize that. But the difference when I'm playing a game, when someone's really tuned all that stuff at a really low, granular level, is just incredible. I mean, actually, Nick and I were just, we'll talk about this more on this week's full podcast, but Nick and I were just playing Trine, and the number of little nice interface things built into that game is really nice. It's just a very cleanly made, very well thought through game from a playability and interface perspective. And I think that stuff makes a big difference. You know, John Carmack talks about that stuff a lot.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it gets lost easily. Nintendo traditionally has been a developer that's really focused on that kind of thing. Even in the GameCube era, their games had amazingly fast loading time. They're always incredibly responsive. The control interface has always done extremely well. And I don't know. I think it's kind of just been something that it's kind of fallen down a little on the priority list, especially because as systems get more and more powerful and programming languages in many cases get higher and higher level, you get farther away from the low-level machine code. And I think probably just gets harder to make that stuff work.
I think that is part of the reason of just on old PC games and like on the NES and SNES, if you press down on the D-pad, there's very little between the actual like, or on the arrow keys of like that button press to art on screen moves. But now it's like, oh, well, you know, we're going through the UI layer, which goes to the animation layer, but you know, and it's just like, well, that animation has to finish playing before this one can go, and it's just like,
yeah.
That is a frustrating thing when making UI.
But
it's one of those things that I wish people would pay more attention to, because especially on console games, where you have to run through 200 menus and copyright screens to get into the game, it's the first thing that you see,
right?
And but you know, then when it's in the game, then you want to even kill yourself the most.
Exactly. For some reason, I find it to be particular. I don't know why this is, and it could just be complete luck of the draw. I find it to be most frustrating on Xbox 360 games for whatever reason. Like, I find even starting from the Xbox 360 menu.
The Xbox 360 menus are the worst. The ba-doop.
Right.
Oh, ba-doop.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Christ.
Right. and it's down to the point where, you know, I'll end up just clicking the wrong things all the time because I know exactly the sequence of up, down, button presses I need to do.
Right, but and the I'll amount do them of time it makes you wait before you can actually interact with another. Yeah.
Yep. It sounds like a minor complaint, but it's a big part of how I think about that system.
No one actively notices it, I don't think. But
it's part of my subconscious impression of the Xbox 360, which is a great system that I love, but... Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah, the new interface is definitely slower on the Xbox than the old one in terms of just being able to go click, 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 like, okay, I've bought the game.
Well, even the old one was like that. And when you load up the guide in games, it takes like a couple seconds in many cases, which sounds really stupid and minor, but all that stuff kind of adds up and creates an overall, like, kind of association in my brain.
Anyway, StarCraft 2.
StarCraft 2.
On that note, StarCraft 2, a game not coming to that system. Sorry, Jesus.
Also, doesn't apparently...
Also doesn't have this problem.
Yeah, so, yeah. Yeah, no. It's very snappy.
We hate everything.
You know what this game's doing right? This thing that I'm going to complain about for 10 minutes.
Blah, blah, blah. So as you can tell, Chris and I really haven't played a whole lot of StarCraft 2.
I haven't.
Talk about how Trine is cool and bitch about the the new Xbox experience, apparently. We're just filling time.
But no, that's good to know. It's nice when developers explicitly...
Well, I've played RTS games where it's, you know, unit selection is a goddamn pain in the ass.
Right.
But StarCraft 2 is not that. It's not, unsurprisingly, I guess. But
Simple, straightforward playability is something that doesn't get enough credit, I don't think. You know, just was really well-designed, well-thought-through, playable experiences. It's something that's worth calling out.
Yep. Just a couple of things. People are going to want to know when the beta is and everything, and it's not probably not going to be for like another month.
Oh, really?
They're going to have us back out there in a couple of weeks to look at all that stuff, but so that's... Maybe I can't say that. I don't know. I have no idea. But anyway.
The bargo is lifted.
All right. I guess the bargo is lifted.
Just, you know, say whatever you want.
Yeah. All right. And then also...
Just call it a bargo now.
Yeah, second of the bargo.
Thumbs.
Stop.
And then also, I didn't see any of the single-player stuff, but it still sounds amazing. Yeah. It just sounds really interesting. I mean, the way they keep describing it is just... Every mission is essentially a mini game, you know, and everything has been crafted specifically.
It's like the blackjack gallery, whack-a-mole.
Yeah, hopefully not that, but it sounds really, really worthwhile. I think people are going to drop that sort of expansion, you know, versus sequel complaint, or you know, splitting off the three races into separate games. I think that will evaporate in a couple of months when people realize what. Will be in the game.
It's funny thinking about Dustin Browder's frustration with this game still not being out because they're releasing this shit for the next 2 years probably.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus. Yeah, yeah. It's.
I mean, you think this game's coming out this year though, right? I mean,
yeah.
That would be preposterous if not.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No, it's coming out holiday season.
The game's not really out until all three. The
whole game. That's kind of what I mean, though. I mean, God, that guy. Like, I mean, if you're at this point, like, oh my God, I've been making this game for so long. It's like, get ready for StarCraft II, the Protoss, and StarCraft II, the Zerg.
As someone who has released a billion games,
that's true.
In
you
a
do
series,
have a Sonic game.
Yeah, there at least at Telltale,
right?
Like there is. A huge weight is lifted once episode one, the first part of the installment is out and rolling down the hill. I mean, maybe that's probably not the case as much if your release window is a lot longer and the difference between the different games is a lot higher. Like, right. I'm sure at Valve, when they put out Half-Life 2 episode one, it's like, yes, finally. Oh my God. The third one's coming out in 2010, 11? Like,
yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah. Maybe 2009, but just like.
Probably not.
When was the first Half-Life episode? 2006?
It's 2006, then 2007, and then was it really 2007?
No, it was. What?
It might be 6, 8, 10.
It was the end of, because
Orange Box was 07. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Then I guess it was.
So, wow, that's a big gap between three. Jesus.
Yeah. So for people who are on a slightly different schedule, that said, if they've been working on this game for so many goddamn years, just having it in people's hands and being able to have way the feedback loop changes.
Right. You know what's interesting?
Like,
oh. And also, there won't be as much multiplayer balancing to do, which is probably a much more fiddly task.
Yeah. I asked them, you know, if it was always the plan to do this, and it was. Which
really?
Kind of surprised me.
I don't know if I believe that.
I don't know if I do either. But he sounded pretty convincing.
Right. They ship StarCraft 1, and they're like, "Well, in 2009, we're gonna
yeah." But maybe from the moment production started, at that point, they probably would have been able to say, "World of Warcraft is doing really well." Yeah.
Bing. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what kind of release schedule those sequels will be on. I don't think it's going to be every year.
You think it's be longer than that?
I don't know. I mean, they claim. Well, I mean, look at what Blizzard's done in the past. They say like World of Warcraft's going to have an expansion every year. It's just it has not. You know, I mean, they're not
meeting
that. Did
they really say that?
Yeah, yeah. That was their goal to get an expansion out every year, and it's just it's too much work.
I guess,
and they're too perfectionist.
I guess it's too much work. Blizzard used to release a game or an expansion every single year, with the exception of like 1 or 2 years here and there. I mean, they really did. I mean, I know everyone says Blizzard takes forever, but it's only been since World of Warcraft has been released that they've taken this long.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm serious. I used to play every Blizzard game that was released, and they were releasing games on a pretty regular basis. I mean, I think that the kind of Blizzard takes forever thing is a little bit of historical revisionism, because they used to make games in a much faster time frame.
Don't think of the expansion packs when they say that, where it's like the time between Warcraft 2 to Warcraft 3, like between there being a game in the Warcraft series was long. Or felt long.
No,
but
no,
I mean,
you're
but
right.
There was a lot of content between Warcraft and Diablo 2, or Warcraft 2 and Diablo 2 going on.
And as good as Brood War
though.
Was.
I mean, they had Diablo in like, I don't know, 97 or whatever. They had StarCraft in 98. They had Diablo 2 in 2000. They had Warcraft 2 whenever that was. They had Warcraft 3 in 2003. I mean, there were a lot of games released in that 10-year period compared to what is going on in the following 10-year period, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I bought all those games. So, I mean, I was pretty, you know, I was pretty familiar with it.
Yeah.
And then expansions, all of those, all those games had expansions all scattered throughout there, so.
But in terms of, like, you know, Lord of Destruction being an expansion and then looking at what they're trying to do with, like, the Zerg sequel.
No, I mean, you know what I mean? I understand like, what you're saying. I'm just saying Blizzard used to release content more regularly.
Oh, yeah.
So just generally speaking. Is sure. What I'm saying. But yeah, who knows? I don't know. I don't know how long they're going to take, but it would be, I mean, it'd be nice if it didn't take 5 years for StarCraft II to finish, but maybe it will. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, seems like they would. Well, I was going to say it seems like they would start seeing diminishing returns if they dragged this out too long, but they probably won't come to StarCraft II.
Yeah.
So
it's just weird to see, you know, the idea I don't know. I guess it's not that weird, but it's. I guess we're only just now getting to the point where it's even possible for a single game series to have gone on that long. You know, I mean, there are very few. I mean, StarCraft as a series, by the time StarCraft II is released, very well could be a 15-year period from StarCraft I to the end of StarCraft II. I mean, for all we know. And it's just, it's interesting that that's even possible. I mean, I guess Final Fantasy's been doing that, and there are probably some other series that have...
Mario?
It's a little different, but
Super Mario, Zelda?
Right. But it's, you know, there are very few examples. Yeah. I mean, just partially because the games industry's not that old. So, I mean, you know, it's just, you're limited by that amount of time, but it's obviously, we're getting there.
Yep.
Weird. StarCraft II, any other thoughts you had on the game? Any other interesting stuff, Dustin?
You know, I think some of this stuff has been shown in the battle reports, but the after...
A lot of people haven't seen those.
Oh, well, okay. Well, the replay stuff, and just now, you know, every game saves a replay, and you can go back in and sort of view it like a movie.
Right.
But they're doing some really interesting things.
What do you mean by like a movie? Do you mean...
Well, it almost works like there's a YouTube video.
But I mean, is it an actual video recording, or is it a demo recording?
Like it's a demo, but it... It operates. It there's a scrubber and you can scrub.
Right.
Scrubber.
Whatever. You hit play and when it's you can fast forward and rewind. But what's cool is that once you play through it, the whole once you render it essentially, you can then scrub through it and rewind. And when you scrub, you can look at the mini map and it will actually reflect the scrubbing, so you can zip right to a which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
You couldn't do that at all in StarCraft. But and then also while you're doing that, there are all these analytical statistic type things. Right down to like, you know, clicks per minute, which is kind of hilarious when you're showing
that's hilarious.
Yeah, like a couple they had a couple you know, tester balancer
guys play.
Will it
put that on
play.
A histogram over time?
People
will probably make tools that do that.
Sure,
people have made crazy already.
Well, yeah.
I mean, people have made aftermarket StarCraft
replay. A lot of
tools,
this is stuff that's taken from that. Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But like, you know, minerals per minute and you can watch from the perspective of one player or the other, which is also kind of nauseating when it's like a dude who's, you know, across the map.
Right.
And all those are, you know, spectator control. You can, you know, use that when you're spectating and stuff.
Can you rewind a match in progress once spectating?
It's like Braid.
It's like that game
Acheron.
If you're watching a game and someone does some fucking crazy thing and you're spectating.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
If you're just like, oh man, hold on, I need to watch that.
You don't mean rewind the gameplay.
No.
Because there is a game, you know.
There's that. No, I was going to talk about that too, but I decided not to. But
yeah.
I don't know if anyone would ever want to do that, but it would be amusing to me.
That would be amusing.
Yeah. That would be pretty cool.
You could just immediately back up and watch an amazing
replay.
Thing that just happened.
Yeah, right.
Like, what?
That would actually be really hardcore. That would be a really cool thing.
If it was TiVo style, basically.
Right. Yeah. Or if it like showed it in like a little window or something.
Picture in picture.
Picture in picture, yeah.
And Madden shows up and starts drawing. What?
Boom shakalaka.
What he's doing here is building a unit.
That might happen.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that's StarCraft
II. That'll be in the second...
Yeah, that's what's going to take him 2 years.
It's coming up in the Zerg pack.
StarCraft 2012. John Madden edition. Blizzard's really selling out right about at this point.
Oh, man.
Yep. Yeah, so it's looking good.
Cool. Sounds good.
Yeah.
I look forward to the beta.
Yep.
There are a lot of... It's weird. This year seems to... There have been a lot of PC beta stuff this year. There's been a fucking ton.
Yep.
It's really weird. There was Dawn of War earlier this year, which I played that beta a lot.
The beta.
There's obviously StarCraft 2 is coming up. There's like all of the Dota sort of lineage games. I mean, there's Demigod. I don't remember if that that beta went into this year. There's
it did.
Yeah, League of Legends. Mm-hmm. That other one. I don't know if we can mention, but
I don't know.
And there've been a lot of betas. I feel like.
Yeah, it's interesting too because I mean, it's such a. I don't know. I mean, I think what Chris Taylor's talked about betas in the past and sort of criticized the impact that they
have. Chris Taylor of Gaspar Games.
Yeah. So I don't know.
What is he criticized about them?
I don't even want to say this because I don't know if I'm mixing him up with somebody else. But I think he was criticized as somebody saying that
something.
Well, yeah, one of those things. But you know, just and how they, you know, to the detriment of overall sales because people play the beta so much that
I think there's probably something to be said for that. I mean, I know that
StarCraft isn't in danger of that probably, but
no. But I think
like
you know,
Q3 test.
I played.
Yeah.
God, that happened to me a lot in the old PC days. Jesus,
I do that now with like Xbox 360 demos. Oddly enough.
Yeah, I've done that as well, for sure.
Yeah.
Games like Stuntman Ignition, stuff like that.
Yeah, stupid things, stupid games that I'm probably not going to buy anyway. But,
I'm like, that I end up having fun with the demo with, but not so much fun that I'm going to go out and spend $60. Like but I know that with Dawn of War 2, I did end up buying Dawn of War 2, but I definitely played so much of that beta that
I could have
considered that enough hours that I got my enjoyment.
And it probably shortened the amount of time that I ended up playing that game post-release.
Me too. Although I will
say,
the single player element of that game was
the single player was definitely worth
a lot of that.
Yeah.
And that wasn't in the beta. So.
Yeah.
But I've definitely had that experience. I mean, I never bought Unreal Tournament 99 because I played the demo so much. I played that demo for
a long time. Unreal Tournament, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems to have retroactively gotten the acronym 99
okay.
at this point. But
yeah, I remember everyone played that demo and just that the one level that was sort of the half-built skyscraper.
Right.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a good demo.
Yeah. Classic demos.
I remember I've told the story, forgetting.
Yeah. But yeah. That and Q3 DM17 in the Q3 test.
Yep.
Those just like...
Right. Right.
Yeah, those two games exist just like, okay, well, you know, those two demo/betas meant that no one really needed to buy a leading first-person shooter in 1999.
Yeah. I did buy Quake 3. I remember, I mean, I've told the story before, but I was at CompUSA, and like Quake 3 and Unreal Tournament were on the shelf there, and I had to choose. Yeah. And I went with Quake 3 because I played so much Quake 1 that I kind of had that kind of mind share, I guess. But I did play the demo of both of them a lot beforehand. And I continue to play the demo for Unreal Tournament.
Yeah.
To this day! I bet you could still find a couple servers of that.
I'm sure you could. Yeah. Probably quite a few.
Cool.
I'm sure they're still filled with really lame people.
Yes. Yes.
Probably the case.
Yeah. It's amazing to me how many of those, like, even full games that you would picture nobody playing, but you know, there's like that 50-member community,
right.
And they play games like
every
Sunday. Like,
yeah.
I was... Did you guys ever play a game called Allegiance?
No,
oh, my God. It was an amazing game. It came out of Microsoft, actually. It's a just kind of like a multiplayer flight sim, straight multiplayer.
Yeah, I never played it.
Good. It was really good. Really ahead of its time. Really difficult to grasp as a casual player, so it didn't do very hot at all.
Five people play it?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Apparently, people are still modding it, and they, you know,
that's awesome.
They released,
like
they released
so
the,
cool.
The source and everything.
That's cool.
So
those people are playing, like, an amazing game. That's like, I know, you know, CNC Generals or something. People probably still play that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember back in the day, I used to be a big Quake fan and I played a lot of Quake mods. And I played one Quake mod called Chapter Honor. That was a Warhammer 40K mod of Quake. It was a total conversion, as they called them in that day when, you know, all the models were replaced, all the textures over time. I mean, obviously, it was a gradual process and it was a work in progress, as most mods were in those days that people would play, you know, in all stages of development. And it was, you know, everyone in the community knew each other. It was really cool. I mean, I don't think I've ever played a game. I know there are lots of examples of this, but personally, that was the only one I've ever really played. Other mods I've played have been bigger than that, you know, where there's enough that you can just kind of go on and find a server. But this was literally, we all hung out on the official forums for this game, and we had clans. There were enough of us that there were multiple clans, even so much that there was enough for them there to be a really prestigious clan that I eventually played in, the Night Lords.
Sweet.
I know. And it was really cool because everyone knew the guy who made the mod, and everyone chipped in. Like, I chipped in some sound design from time to time, and it was just like really... it was really cool having that community where we represented the entire player base of this game. Like, I don't know how many of us there were, but I mean, it was really like a tight community. It was awesome.
Sweet. I worked on a Quake 3 mod that was probably about the exact same scope
right.
when I was in college. And yeah, it's
Urban
it's
Terror.
Cool. Yeah, Urban Terror. Sweet. Yeah. It was like, it was action Quake sort of Counter-Strike combo.
Right.
For Quake 3. But yeah, that was weird. And I have nothing to say. I thought that I did. I forgot what I was going to say. Awesome. Video games.
Yeah, yeah. StarCraft 2 will probably not be that.
Yes.
Or just the whole community knows each other. You know, you could just chip in some sound effects.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, but there, I mean, you know, I guess on that note, StarCraft 2 will probably have an extremely vibrant mod community. Yes. I mean, I suspect that, Blizzard has learned so much about what goes on in the user-created...
Yeah, they're supporting mods a lot, and you'll actually... the user count for mods will be higher. Yeah, I mean, you can... I think it's only... It's for multiplayer StarCraft 2, you can put in 8 people, but I think for mods, you can throw in 16, so they're...
Oh, cool. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Nice. Yep. So really 8 people multiplayer in StarCraft 2?
Yeah. Wow. That's as many as it was in StarCraft.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
God, I don't think I ever really played anything that was higher than, like, 6. So...
Yeah. No, yeah, it was 8. And now you'll be able to have 4 spectators, so it'd be 12 people. But...
Oh, cool. That's really good. Yeah. That's a really good move.
Yep.
Awesome.
So, cool.
That's probably StarCraft. Why, actually, that was... I bet there were probably relatively few 8-player games overall, just because people who played competitively and so forth were so used to allowing room for spectators and that.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, StarCraft is fun. StarCraft 2 should be also fun.
Yes.
Want to wrap this up? Any final thoughts you had? Good.
You can beep that out.
I can beep that out, right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Can't say that.
Yeah.
All right.
Alrighty. StarCraft Pod Blast.
Talk to you guys later.
It was a good game.